Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new edition of K-Axis Wrestling Network. And today, we will be discussing TNA Wrestling. We'll be discussing some of the other wrestling organizations, because we're not only going to discuss WWE Wrestling here, because there's just so much more to offer in the world of wrestling besides WWE. So with that being said, I think it would be cool to talk about, you know, the second largest wrestling organization in America, which a lot of people refuse to acknowledge it as. But, you know, when you pull up the stats, when you pull up the numbers, you know, it shows that TNA is the second largest wrestling organization in America, you know. And for example, like if you pull up the viewership numbers, like TNA is currently doing numbers around, let's say, somewhere between the 200,000 and the 300,000 range. And that's like the second largest viewership total, you know, in American pro wrestling. So, you know, you got your ROH, you know, they usually do around 200,000 something, a little less than TNA on average, you know. And then you have Lucha Underground, you know, which is another, it's quite popular, but it's not as popular as, let's say, TNA, because, you know, TNA has been around about as long as ROH. In fact, ROH and TNA have been around for about the same length of time, you know, and that's the good thing about that. It's good that both organizations have been around for a long period of time, so, you know, that means that they're pretty well established. And when you look at their social media numbers, that also tells you a lot about who's at the top, you know. And, you know, a lot of people tend to knock TNA a lot all the time, you know, but I honestly can't, because I feel like it, you know, at one point they really were the best wrestling, you know, as far as like actual wrestling goes, you know, because I don't know, maybe this is just my opinion, but I think the years between, let's say, 2007 to about 2011 or so was like awful years for WWE. And during that time, I was watching strictly TNA, because TNA, they were delivering a product that I enjoyed, watching. It was fun to watch. They had great matches, you know. They had great wrestlers. I mean, of course, you would see some of your favorites, you know, even from WWE, you know. And a lot of people back then were talking about, well, all they do is sign WWE rejects. Yeah, but what's WWE doing today? You know what I'm saying? Where are they getting their wrestlers from today? They're getting wrestlers from TNA, a lot of wrestlers from TNA, a lot of their top wrestlers. They're getting a lot of ROH's top wrestlers. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're pretty much snatching up wrestlers from everywhere. So would it be fair to say that WWE is all they do is get TNA rejects? All they do is get ROH rejects? You know, you got to think about these kind of things, because, you know, this is stuff that people actually talk about. So, you know, with that being said, we're also going to discuss, like I said, like ROH and Lucha Underground. I think those are also great alternatives to WWE, because I think it pays to have alternatives, because, you know, you're not going to always want to watch WWE. You're not going to always want to rely on WWE, because WWE is not the most reliable wrestling organization to choose from, because, you know, there's so many outlets now. I swear, like, there's more wrestling organizations than there ever has been. Or, I don't know, maybe it's just that the internet just made it more readily available, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, there's so many different wrestling brands and organizations to choose from. It's like, it can be difficult to keep up with it all, you know, all the time. But, you know, like, if my listeners, like, if you guys want me to discuss, like, New Japan and, you know, more ROH or more Lucha Underground or more TNA, you know, just let me know, make suggestions, and then, you know, you can help me out, because, you know, that would help me out. You could give me ideas as to, like, you know, content to discuss, and then we can just go with it from there, you know, because I'm open to doing that, you know. Like, give me suggestions, you know, tell me how I can improve, and then, you know, I will do my best to improve. So, anyway, let's get into TNA. Founded by Jeff Jarrett, you know, that's pretty much his pet project, I guess. You know, it was established shortly after WCW hit went under and was bought out by the McMahons. So, you know, during that period of time, they were pretty small as an organization, and I didn't really discover them, you know, until about, let me say, probably around, I'd have to say around 2005 or so, when I started going to live wrestling events again, because my very first wrestling event was in 1997 at Monday Nitro. I believe it was the June 1st edition, if I'm not mistaken. It was Monday Nitro, June 1st, 1997, and I was about in the middle section of the, was it back then? It was the MCI Center. So, anyway, yeah, TNA had started. I didn't discover TNA till about, was it 2005 or so? Because, or it might have been 2004. It was back when they were on Fox Sports Network. I know that much. And the show ran for about an hour. And it was the point where they were doing like weekly pay-per-views, I believe. So yeah, that was quite early in TNA. And let me see. Yeah, this is causing me to think backwards now. So yeah, I do remember I went to a WWE show in 2005, and like people were outside like handing out TNA advertisements, you know what I'm saying, before we got into the building, when we were around the building waiting to get our tickets scanned in and everything. Like, people were outside handing out like TNA advertisements and stuff, and you know, I thought that was, you know, it's kind of a sneaky move to do that, but honestly, I thought it was kind of cool too. You know, and then, you know, it was a good way to get TNA out there to, you know, people who may want to see an alternative to WWE. And, you know, that happened to be me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I started watching it on Fox Sports Network. And from that point on, I believe, I think I was watching it on there. And then eventually I started watching it more and more. And I watched it when they were on Spike TV. You know, when they had AJ Styles and, you know, everybody. I mean, I remember all that stuff, you know, from way back, early days of TNA. You know, and like I said, like, it was a period of time where I just wasn't watching WWE at all, because, you know, I just felt that they were just very disappointing and their product was just awful at the time, you know. Like, I didn't agree with all this stuff that was going on at the time. You know, like when they put the belt on Miz, for example, like, I did not like that. I believe that happened around 2011 or so, and I didn't agree with that. You know, that was really disappointing, to say the very least, because I don't feel that Miz was just at a level of where he could be a legitimate WWE champion, you know. And I didn't like that spinner belt either. Like, that was like the ugliest WWE belt that was ever created, along with that hardcore belt. The hardcore belt and the spinner belt are two of the ugliest. And honestly, a lot of their current belts are just crappy, you know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't put much thought or, you know what I'm saying, creativity into it like they used to with the belts. You know, like, the Attitude edition of the, you know, WWE title, that one was good. That was a nice looking belt. It was, you could tell that a lot of creativity and a lot of work was put into it, you know, to make it look as good as it did. And the Undisputed WWE Championship was also one of their greatest. And another one was, let me see, well, that's pretty much the ones that I like. But I also like the big gold belt from WCW. I actually have a commemorative edition of that belt, you know, stored away in a safe place. And, you know, because that's my favorite belt altogether, you know. But my second favorite would be that Attitude Edition WWE belt. Like, that one is awesome. But anyway, we're getting off subject here. TNA. All right, you had a lot of just great things happen in TNA. Like, you had Sting over there, you know what I'm saying? It was great to see Sting again. It's like, it's sometimes they would seem to try to recreate WCW, or sometimes they would even take some ideas from WWE. And but then again, you know, wrestling always, you know, somebody's always borrowing or taking something from somebody in some form or fashion. And it's like, I don't know, I don't see that. That's not a huge problem. I mean, if it's a direct ripoff, yeah, then it's a huge problem. Or like a copyright violation or something of that nature, then it's bad news. But other than that, it's not the worst thing that can happen in pro wrestling. TNA, you had Sting, you had freaking Hall and Nash. I mean, even though they were at a later point in their career, to where they wasn't as good, to where they were much older, Yeah, I get it. And then you had Jeff Jarrett. I remember a time where he was just hogging the belt. You know, he called himself the King of the Mountain, and, you know, he was just hogging the belt. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, Jeff Jarrett, he paid a lot of dues in the business. I will give him that much. You know, his that takes me back to his championship run in WCW. You know, his whole slap nuts thing and all that stuff he was talking about. I got all the stroke, and, you know, he was just all cocky and stuff, you know, and he was like a heel champion. And I didn't really like him at that point in time, honestly. I was never really like a big Jeff Jarrett fan anyway. In fact, when I liked Jeff Jarrett, like, I'd have to say the only point in time where I really liked Jeff Jarrett was probably around the Attitude Era, like just before he went to WCW. It was, you know, when he had that Don't Piss Me Off thing going, you know what I'm saying? The whole Don't Piss Me Off Jeff Jarrett. Yeah, like, that's the one. All right, he was okay then, you know what I'm saying? I'll give him credit there, you know what I'm saying? And I will give him credit for what he's done for TNA, because TNA was great. Like, I loved them as an alternative. I used to love them, you know, because they had a lot of great wrestlers. You know, you had Chris Daniels, who was truly one of the most underrated pro wrestlers of all time. You know, I mean, I really feel like he should have accomplished more in TNA, because, you know, the way I see it, Chris Daniels was every bit as good as AJ Styles in that ring, but better on the microphone. He was better on the microphone than AJ Styles, and he was a great performer all around, you know, and he could go with the best of them, you know, like Samoa Joe, too. Samoa Joe was incredible, you know. Like Eric Young, you know, he was a decent talent as well, but it's just the TNA always kind of used him for, like, the clown guy, the whipping boy, perhaps, you know, like, pretty much like your Doink or your Eugene, or, you know what I'm saying, like the wrestler that's meant to be funny or whatever, or silly, you know. But nonetheless, you know, he still had a great deal of success in TNA as well, so I can't really say that they really dogged him out too much, you know. But then you had wrestlers like Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal was great. I think the reason why Jay Lethal left TNA, he left around around 2010. And it was shortly after, like, Hogan and his regime had gotten in there. And honestly, that's where a lot of things took a turn for the worst, you know, to be honest. Like, when you look back at the history of TNA, like, that's when things really started to get shaken up. And, you know, Jay Lethal had left shortly after that. And, you know, he was honestly one of the greatest wrestlers, you know. And, like, shortly before he left, he kind of, like, he had a rivalry with AJ Styles. And they had at least two really good matches, you know, before Jay Lethal left. But then again, there was also a time in ROH where Jay Lethal and AJ Styles had a match, which was also good. And let me see. Yeah, back to that 2010, that Hogan era, like, that was just awful, you know, because the year before, you had Final Destination 2009, where it was Chris Daniels versus AJ Styles for the last time, as they say. That match was just incredible. Like, in fact, I'm just thinking of, like, going on TNA's Global Wrestling Network and just pulling that match up and watching it again, because, you know, I really do need to see that match again. You know, in fact, there's many matches that I need to see again, like that Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar one. I enjoyed that one because, you know, Samoa Joe just went in on Lesnar, like, he just destroyed him, dismantled him through a vast majority of the match, and I thought that was just incredible. But anyway, I'm getting off subject again. Back to TNA. You know, TNA, they also had beer money. You had a Wildcat Chris Harris and James Storm, which was America's Most Wanted. Then you had beer money, Bobby Roode and James Storm. You know, very good tag team, very popular tag team. Then you had the Motor City Machine Guns. Those guys, Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley, they had a great chemistry. They were a great tag team. They are the exemplification of a great tag team, you know. Like, it's really hard to top a tag team like Motor City Machine Guns, because they were great. And then, let me see, you had Amazing Red, you had Crimson. I thought Crimson was pretty good. You know, he wasn't an expert on the microphone, but the guy was pretty good in the ring. He was pretty interesting, to say the least. He would have been a really good big guy. Like, honestly, I think he would have been a better big guy than Matt Morgan, you know. But Matt Morgan did try. Like, I'm not knocking him either. Another guy who I thought was pretty good was Magnus, you know. Like, he was the one. He was the last TNA wrestler to actually wrestle and defeat AJ Styles, And, you know, he played the heel role pretty well. Like, he was just really, really hateable in TNA. I don't even know if that's a damn word, but hey, it was just easy to hate Magnus, pretty much, you know. And that's how you know they were doing something right. And also, when it comes to, like, TNA management and stuff, like, a lot of people like to crack on Dixie Carter. And honestly, I think things were, like, better when she was there because, you know, look at the current state of TNA. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are they doing now? It's like they're honestly getting some really low numbers, but also some really high ones. So it's like their viewership is, like, fluctuating at this point because, you know, when you look at the numbers, like, right now they're pretty much bouncing back and forth between, I mean, because this is April 2018, but if you look at their numbers are bouncing back and forth pretty much between, like, the, what is it, around 200 and, let's say, around 280,000 some, and jumping in between. Then, like, let me see, last week was around 280,000, hold up, 280,000, and I believe, like, the most recent week after was around, then it jumped back up to about 380,000 or something like that, you know. Like, I don't know the approximate number at this moment, but I can figure that all out in the future. Anyway, yeah, their viewership is, like, fluctuating, is bouncing up and down. Like, it wasn't quite doing that, you know, when Dixie was in charge, when she had, you know, more control over the show. Like, right now, she only controls about maybe 5% of TNA, if I'm correct. I mean, I still call them TNA. I mean, they're better known as Impact Wrestling now after all the name changes they went through in the past year. Yeah, I still call them TNA because that's what they are. You know, they're still in the Impact zone. It's still Impact Wrestling, you know. But, yeah, I noticed, like, they kind of made that change from to Impact Wrestling when Hogan's regime came in because, you know, Hogan kind of, like, pitched the idea that it would be better to put wrestling into the title instead of having it being TNA. And it was also, he also pitched the idea to change the six-sided ring to the four-sided ring, you know, the regular four-sided squared circle that it's known for. That's fine and dandy. Like, I never had a problem with the six-sided ring being switched out because, you know, the four-sided ring, you know, was easier on the wrestlers. Like, the wrestlers themselves said, like, that six-sided ring is just, it's harder, it's more stiff, you know. And, you know, anything that makes things easier on the wrestlers, because they go through enough as it is, and if they got to wrestle on a harder surface, you know, a harder surfaced ring, you know, then that's just another downside to what they have to go through. You know, they have to go through a lot in the wrestling business. That's the thing that a lot of people, you know, tend to forget about, you know, all the struggles that these wrestlers have to go through. That's why I try my best to, you know, to not totally bash a wrestler so much, because at the same time, you know, even the wrestlers I don't like, I still have to respect what they do, you know, and what they go through, you know what I'm saying, just to be at the level that they're at, you know what I'm saying, because it's a tough business. It's a business that I thought I once wanted to be in when I was a teenager because I loved wrestling so much. Like, I lived for wrestling. I lived it. I breathed it. Everything. You know, I was all about pro wrestling. You know what I'm saying? I loved it so much. And I still do. It's just, you know, back then as a teenager, you know what I'm saying, I had more of a passion for it. But some of that passion has died down. But, hey, I'm pretty much with it for life at this point. So I'll have to accept that. But anyway, you know, TNA, I used to love them, you know what I'm saying? Now it's just, it's difficult to watch. It's difficult to watch after all the changes they've been through and all the people they've lost, all the bad luck they've had. And it's like, you know, at a point in time, I would have loved for them to have been legitimate competition for WWE. But there was a point when they were doing pretty well, and that's when they were on Spike TV. They were drawing at least over 1 million viewers every week. And that was really good. That was the highlight. That was the height of TNA right there, when they were drawing, like, over 1 million viewers. Because if they could have drew, let's say, another 1 million, like, they would be drawing high enough to go head-to-head with SmackDown, because that's SmackDown's average viewership total. It usually rings in around 2 million, you know, 2.5 million, you know what I'm saying? About 2.5 million, you know, something of that neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? And, if TNA could have drew another million, like, they would have been pretty much neck and neck competition for SmackDown, you know. But oh well, you know what I'm saying, it didn't turn out that way, and that's fine, that's dandy. But you know what I'm saying, like, thing is, a lot of people just have a lot of negative thoughts of TNA. Like, if you go on YouTube and type in TNA sucks in the search bar and search, I mean, you will see endless videos. Like, you'll be scrolling down for hours, you know what I'm saying, because so many people are just convinced that TNA is the worst thing ever created, and it's just awful, it's a detriment to the wrestling business, they hope the company goes under, and you know, all this other garbage. Like, you know, they constantly trash the company. Yeah, I mean, I get it, they're not as good as they used to be, I mean, I will admit that, but I can, you know what I'm saying, I still can't just sweep them under the rug like they never existed, because like I said, there was a time, if it wasn't for TNA, like, I probably wouldn't have been watching wrestling for a really long time, you know, because, you know, that's what I had to go to. Like, I had to go to TNA because WWE was in another one of those periods where it was just intolerable, you know. And like, times before then, like, I remember back in the early 90s when I was still a kid, like, there was a time where I stopped watching it then too, because then I had discovered, you know, WCW, and it was like, wow, this is a whole new thing, you know what I'm saying, and it's pretty good, you know what I'm saying, they got a lot of good wrestlers here, I'm starting to find new favorites, and it was amazing, it was a great feeling, you know. And that's how it was, you know, with TNA. I was like, hey, I'm gonna start finding new favorite wrestlers, you know, and before you know it, I had a lot of them, you know, and I still do. And that's why I still support a lot of those former TNA wrestlers to this day, like the ones that made it to WWE and, you know, became very successful over there. Like, I still support those wrestlers. You know, your AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode, all them, you know. I wish them all the best, and very thankful for what they've done over the years. You know, they've made really good contributions to the wrestling business, you know. Whether somebody wants to call them an indie darling or whatever else they want to call them, you know. You can't take away from what those guys accomplished over the years, what they've done for the wrestling business over the years, all the sacrifices they made for the wrestling business and the wrestling fans, you know? All the time they had to spend away from their families and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, these wrestlers go through a lot, you know, and a lot of people just don't seem to care about that. A lot of people don't seem to think about that. And, excuse me again, this indigestion is just really giving me hell today. But anyway, TNA, the current state of TNA. Like I said, it's difficult to watch now. I mean, it's not totally awful because they're trying. I do appreciate their effort. I just don't know. I don't think they'll ever make it to that point where they used to be. You know what I'm saying? Where they had just, everything was just pretty damn good on TNA. Like, to the point where it was difficult to find a bad match, pretty much. Like, I don't think they'll get to that point again. If they do, I mean, I'd love it. You know, I'd fully support them. You know what I'm saying? I still do support them to an extent. You know what I'm saying? And I would like to get to a point where I can just, you know, start watching it again, to the point where I can just talk about it more. You know, like, I was pretty close to watching their most recent episode. Honestly, I was. I will, because I don't want to just talk about WWE only. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to talk about many different wrestling organizations and many different wrestlers. And you know what I'm saying? Because that's the point. That's the point of this network. It's not supposed to be solely on WWE. But when you go to, you know, what the fans know as the dirt sheets, or, you know, the wrestling forums or the wrestling sites, most of those sites typically report mostly on WWE stuff, WWE news and all that. And, you know, that's fine and dandy, but it's like they don't really report enough on, like, TNA and everything outside of TNA. You know what I'm saying? Everything outside of WWE. You know what I'm saying? Because there's so many options outside of WWE, and they're so seldomly mentioned, you know what I'm saying, on those sites. And it's like, you know, I want my site to be different. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to report on WWE, TNA, ROH, Lucha Underground. But you also have to understand that I can't always deliver on all levels, because that's a lot of wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Like, who's got time to watch every single wrestling organization, every single major wrestling organization throughout the course of a week? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to be like wrestling overkill. It's going to get to a point where it's going to be easy to burn out on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, imagine doing that. Imagine watching all the wrestling out there. And then that New Japan wrestling, you know what I'm saying? Like, some of their matches go on for like an hour. And it's like, I don't have that kind of time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather not sit through a match that's an hour long. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with me having a short attention span, but like if I was to sit, like let's say I watched Wrestle Kingdom and they had 5 1-hour matches. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's 5 hours of wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Like, WrestleMania. WrestleMania was excessively long. I don't believe that should have been as long as it was, but it was. So, yeah, like I said, I mean, like, people only have so much time, you know, throughout the course of a week to spend on watching wrestling. And like I said, there's just more options than ever now. Like, back when I was coming up, there was only two options. You know what I'm saying? You had either WWF or WCW. You know what I'm saying? Because that was the only wrestling that was available in my area. You know what I'm saying? That's all we had. You know, at first, all we had was WWF. But what was it? NWA. I think they were available, but I don't know. I don't ever remember watching NWA when I was younger. And you know what I'm saying? And if I'm not mistaken, I believe NWA had actually converted over to WCW, if I'm not mistaken. Like, somebody correct me on that if I'm wrong, because like I said, I'm not always right, and I never claim to know it all, you know. But anyway, like I said, back then it was pretty much WCW or WWF, and you know, that's what we had to go on for many years. But like I said, I also had access to the wrestling magazines that talked about ECW and, you know, some of the other lesser known wrestling organizations, you know. And I used to have like a huge collection of wrestling magazines, but you know, they got thrown away when I lived with my biological father. And I'm still kind of mad about that, I'm not gonna lie. But you know, he's no longer with us, and you know, no longer an issue to discuss. But anyway, yeah, I do miss those wrestling magazines, you know, because like I said, like that was my way to finding out about other wrestling organizations. You know, it helped me out when there was no, you know what I'm saying, when there was no way to watch ECW, I could at least read about it and see photos from it. And, you know, it was really cool. I really liked that. I really liked having that option, you know, of still knowing what's going on in ECW, despite the fact of not being able to watch it on television, you know. Because I certainly would have watched it. Like, I would have watched any kind of wrestling, you know, back then. But anyway, TNA, for example, like, I would love, like, if they could just go on tour. Like, if they could have been, like if they do, like, WWE and just go everywhere. Like, that would be great. Like, if they just went all around the country. Like, that would be awesome. Like, I would have definitely paid for a ticket to go to one of their shows back in the day, you know. But I don't ever recall them being in my area, you know what I'm saying? I really wish they would have, because I really would have attended, because, you know, especially during that time where I really liked them, you know what I'm saying, when they were at their best, like, I would have definitely paid, you know, to go to a TNA show. But it's like now they're exclusively stuck to, you know, Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida. And, you know, I have no way to get to Orlando, Florida, and I really don't want to go to Florida, because I hear the place is crazy. But anyway, you know, they're just exclusively at that location, and I'm just hundreds of miles away from that location, and there's really no way that I can get there, you know. I mean, I would love to go to TNA Live. Like, that would be cool, super cool, but I just can't. It's too far away from me. I mean, you know, that's why, and a correction on one of the previous shows I did. I went to, let me see, let's get this right. I went to 3 wrestling shows last year. Okay, because one, I went to Raw in July, Monday Night Raw in July, on July 24th, in fact. And I went to Raw again, when was it, October the 30th, the day before Halloween. Yeah, I went to Raw twice. And then I believe it was in, what was it? It might have been, I can't remember exactly when it was, but I went to MCW Wrestling as well. At their, what was it, Autumn Armageddon. Yeah, that's what they called it. Went to MCW, and then I've been to 2 wrestling events this year. Instead, you know, because on one of the previous episodes I've done, I said I went to 1, but I actually went to 2 this year. I went to, back in January, I went to SmackDown Live, and that was on January 24th episode of SmackDown Live. And then the next month, in February, I went to MCW's Winter Blast Yeah, that's what it was. So let's say in less than a year, I've been to 5 live wrestling shows. So that's quite a bit, you know. And if I could, I'd go to more. You know, if I could afford it, I'd go to more, you know. But like I said before, I'm not a rich man. So, you know, I'd love to go to more shows. In fact, I was in Louisiana on WrestleMania week, but of course I didn't have a WrestleMania ticket. I wasn't in New Orleans, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was on some of the outer skirts of Louisiana. And anyway, I digress. All right, and let's discuss ROH a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll admit it. Like, I don't know everything there is to know about ROH. I do know a little bit about it, you know, because I have actually watched ROH before, you know, and I've seen a great deal of their wrestling matches and such. In fact, that's when I officially discovered Okada, you know, and I thought he was a great talent, you know. And of course, I already knew Jay Lethal from TNA, so, you know, I already knew about him. And yeah, a lot of big names have come through ROH as well. I believe Cesaro had came from there, and of course Kevin Steen, aka Kevin Owens, you know, all those guys, Sami Zayn, Daniel Bryan. Yeah, a lot of big names came out of ROH from what I remember. I think even, yeah, CM Punk has been there. CM Punk has also been in TNA before. So, yeah, a lot of big names have come to those organizations. You know, guys who got their start there, I guess, or started early on there and then just moved on to WWE and just, you know what I'm saying, made it to the ultimate pinnacle of pro wrestling, such as, you know, CM Punk, who was very, very successful, you know. And as far as CM Punk, you know, he's always a topic of discussion, and, you know, as far as pro wrestling goes, and even in, you know, mixed martial arts. CM Punk, I think the guy was great. He was great on the microphone. He was great in the ring. You know what I'm saying? He had all it took, you know what I'm saying, to be great in the wrestling business, to succeed in the wrestling business. And what do I think about him walking out on WWE? I believe, you know, that was a shocker. Like, I didn't see it coming, you know what I'm saying? But if he believed that that was the right thing to do for him, then so be it. You know, I can't blame the guy for doing it, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you listen to his reason for walking out on WWE, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, you know. But a lot of people knock him for it. A lot of people call him a crybaby and a whiner and this and that. But have they really listened to his reason, to why he left? You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, I know walking out on a job isn't the professional way to quit, but still, would WWE have let him off, you know what I'm saying, for his reasons? They probably wouldn't have, you know. So they probably left him no choice but to walk out. Like, if walking out was going to save his life or save him from long-term injury, then I don't blame him for walking out. I think he did what he had to do, you know. End of the day, bottom line, I believe he did what he had to do, you know. But anyway, you know, back to the subject of ROH. Let me see. Like I said, they have Chris Daniels and Kaz over there, I believe. I think they're still there, but correct me if I'm wrong. This is currently, if anybody wants to, you know, in case somebody runs back to this episode in the future. All right, this is April 2018. So early, well, pretty much mid-April 2018. So come back, if you come back here, you know what I'm saying, in the future and listen to this episode, then, you know, let me know in the comments section. Just let me know that, okay, they were no longer with the company during that period of time. But as far as I know, I think they're still there, because I haven't watched ROH in a while. I'll admit that. But ROH is pretty decent. It's pretty good. You know, I could definitely see myself watching more of it. But, you know, I got to make time for it, because it gets difficult, because, like I said, there's so many options to choose from, you know. Because, and then you have Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground is it's solid. It's really solid, you know. They noticeably have a bigger ring, you know what I'm saying, than WWE and ROH and TNA. Their ring appears to be like a 20 by 20, you know what I'm saying, like a larger type ring. And they got a lot of luchador wrestlers and a nice variety of wrestlers. You know, a lot of big names, quite a few big names have been through Lucha Underground as well. it's a decent company. I like the way they film. You know, their filming is like of movie quality, which is pretty cool, and it's a unique way of doing it, and I think that's pretty cool. It's great, in fact. And New Japan. I've watched New Japan. Like I said, I've watched it before. I watched the Omega Okada match, which was incredible, but it was way too long. Like, I really believe that they could have got everything into that match into, let's say, a 20-minute match. You know what I'm saying? Like, a 20-minute match would have been fine by me, but a match that goes on for, like, an hour, it just, like who's got time for that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I could watch, let's say, I could watch maybe 3 or 4 standard matches within that time frame. You know what I'm saying? Like, an hour is just too long of a match. And if New Japan wants to appeal more to the American crowd, then they need to make their matches shorter. Because, like I said, I mean, for me, it's not an attention span problem. It's just I get, like, if I'm sitting here watching wrestling for just, you know, the same match go on and on, it's like, come on, you know what I'm saying? When is it going to end? You know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm in a hurry or anything. It's just like, it just gets a little boring, you know what I'm saying? Like, the same match just dragging on for so long. But anyway, like I said, I watched the Okada versus Omega, and I thought it was great. You know what I'm saying? Nonetheless, I'm not knocking the match. I'm saying the match itself was freaking incredible, man. It was incredible. It was truly one of the best matches to ever take place in pro wrestling. You know, I thought it was great. I thought it was fantastic. And it also showed me how talented that Kenny Omega is. You know what I'm saying? Like, he really is on the level of, like, AJ Styles, you know, at his best. Like, the guy's really good. And it would be nice to see him in a WWE ring, I think. But honestly, he doesn't want to go, and I can't blame him for that, because he likes to have control over his character. He doesn't want to be, like, force-fed on what to do, and he doesn't want his moveset, you know, reduced and whatnot, because, you know, WWE, they will really do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they really, I don't know, what's the word for it? I'm thinking of the word for it. They really, like, I don't know, sugarcoat wrestlers. You know what I'm saying? They kind of cut them down a bit, you know what I'm saying, on moves and what they can do and, you know, what they can say and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't blame Omega for not wanting to go to WWE. You know, some wrestlers just don't, you know. I'm kind of thinking maybe Magnus, you know what I'm saying, back to Magnus from TNA. I think he might be in that group of, you know what I'm saying, of people who don't want to go to WWE, because why have they not reached out to him yet? You know what I'm saying? He's still relatively young. You know, he's strong. He's got the look. You know what I'm saying? And he's good enough of a wrestler as to where he can be, where he can deliver some really good matches if he wanted. Because I remember a match he had with Samoa Joe. I believe it was a cage match. It was back in TNA. And he was showing that he had skills, you know. Like, even when he was with, what do they call them as a group? It was Doug Williams, Rob Terry, and Magnus. Brutus Magnus, they called him back then. In fact, they were British Invasion. That was their name. Yeah, and those guys, I thought Doug Williams was the best, honestly. Like, he was good. He was really good at, like, I don't even know what the hell happened to Doug Williams, but, you know, I wish he was still on the big times. You know what I'm saying? If he's still wrestling, you know. But Doug Williams was good. Rob Terry, he had the look. You know what I'm saying? I don't ever remember him being that great of a wrestler, but he had the look. You know, like the dude, you know, like the look that Vince McMahon would appreciate. You know, the big chiseled up, swole up, greasy dude. Yeah, Vince loved he loves those guys. You know, that's no secret. And yeah, TNA, ROH, Lucha Underground. Yeah, like I said, I need to do some catching up. And if you guys have any suggestions, like, just, you know, give me some, you know what I'm saying? Like, feedback is always welcome here. I don't discriminate against anybody. Anybody can come here and just leave your comments, or, you know, but keep it respectful. That's what I ask. Like, don't come on here trolling and, you know, harassing people and cussing people out and calling them names. Like, you know, let's be adults here. You know what I'm saying? Let's keep this mature. Let's keep it cleaned up. Let's keep it decent. Let's keep it professional. Let's keep it classy. That's all I'm saying here. You know, because that's what this show is all about. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to slander people and, you know, all this other garbage, you know what I'm saying? We're not going to do all that. You know, it's not going to be tolerated. There's going to be a zero tolerance policy for trolling and harassment and, you know, things like that. But anyway, I'm about to wrap up here because this episode has gone on for quite some time. In fact, it's gone on longer than I intended for it to go on. I'd like to wish you guys the best. You know, you guys have a great day. If you feel the need, if you want, you know, donate to the show. Comment, subscribe, like, follow. You know what I'm saying? Support the show. And I will keep supporting you guys. I'll keep putting content out here for you to listen to. You know, and just give me ideas. You know, tell me how I can improve. You know, just some feedback. Some, what we call it, constructive criticism. You know, add in, you know what I'm saying, put into the show, contribute to the show, and then we can grow, and then we can get better, you know, and then we can just do more things and make more things possible, you know. You know, let's do this, let's make this happen. All right, so with that being said, I am your host, K-Axis, and I am signing off. I wish you guys a great day. You guys have a blast. Stay safe, and don't do anything I wouldn't do, as as they used to say. All right, guys, you guys have a great one.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.